We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Well, we got a big show shaping up for Wednesday. Remember how excited we were a week ago today? It was like the holiday and everything. We're like, yeah, can we get to Wednesday? Because then we have 5 days off, and now we're working again.
Those days are gone.
Yeah, they are gone. But Senator Blunt will be here tomorrow on the show. Brian Kilmeade as well. And Greg Keller, who has written a piece. He's a local, how would we refer to Greg Keller? Local political operative. And he's got very nice hair. He's got slick, very gelled up hair. Greg's known for his hair. But he wrote a piece in the Business Journal about the Rams settlement. Not very fond of the settlement. And we'll get him on tomorrow afternoon. Dave, were you going to say something there?
No, I was going to say the hair comment as well. I mean, it's amazing hair. Flawless hair.
So, you know what's funny is we went out. We were doing some stuff with the Salvation Army out near where we live, Dave, Gravois Bluffs, the other day. And have you seen, you know where that Gander Mountain was? There's a Club Fitness.
Yes.
You know what's next to it?
It's at the pickleball court.
It's like a big pickleball
thing.
Yeah,
I really want to do that.
I know,
that's
right?
Awesome.
So they were doing, have you ever done it, Sue?
Pickleball?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Great.
It's fun.
So Amy Markscores was there from KMOX. We're kind of noodling on an idea here, a little challenge with KMOX. Now, Amy did point out that her side of the building trends much older than 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, come
like,
on.
If you want to make excuses now, that's fine. But I think we should throw down in pickleball. Here's why I brought it up. So I go into the tournament. I've never really seen anything like that. I've seen people play pickleball, but it was intense. And I see Greg Keller's name on the television monitor. So I text him. I said, are you by any chance at a pickleball tournament, or is it another Greg Keller? His response was, another Greg Keller. My response was, makes sense. I did not find any excess pomade. And he did say it's visible from afar. That's the tell. But Greg will be with us to talk about the Rams settlement and his hair tomorrow afternoon. We have an audio cut of the day coming up. Kevin Wheeler, look, we're going to have a lockout in Major League Baseball. It's going to be a miracle if they don't. So what are the implications of that, Mr. Wheeler, a little bit later?
Well, those owners are still spending money like crazy, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, no doubt about that. There's a county council meeting tonight, which is always entertainment, always Class A entertainment. Tim Fitch, St. Louis County Councilman, with us tonight. How are you, Councilman Fitch? Do you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I'm doing great. Had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Good to hear. Let me start with I want to talk about the Rams deal and some ideas that you have there. But let me start with Faisal Khan. I was given a letter that was sent a couple of days ago by Councilman Mark Carter to Sam Page that talked about Faisal Khan. Said the council will vote on his official appointment and may find him unfit to hold this office. Regardless of that vote, I expect to see his resignation forthwith and for you to find a more suitable replacement. Look, that's really the right thing to do. I would hope even some of your progressive members on the council recognize that. But he's not going to resign, right?
Oh, absolutely not. The only way he'll resign is if Sam Page finds a cushy job for him somewhere. It's the only way he'll resign. Sam can't force him out because Faisal is the holder of the secrets on the letter from back in July where he accused me of using a racist dog whistle in the crowd from calling in names and elbowing him and shoving him and all those things that we all know now are lies. Sam had to keep him because Sam approved the letter. And Sam and Faisal, they know the real story. So if he dumps Faisal, guess what he's going to do? Oh, really? You want to fire me? You want to know how that letter got written and who wrote it?
Oh, he has leverage. I see what you mean.
Absolutely. Yeah, Sam Page cannot get rid of him.
So the letter last week that Faisal Khan sent, though, the email to departmental staff said, ignore the lunatic fringe that exists in every society. They were there 100 years ago, will likely be around 100 years in the future. They are irrelevant fools. Is that? I guess that's me. Are you in the lunatic fringe?
Because absolutely.
You have concerns about freedoms and liberties. And, you know, it's funny. Their side cites the science all the time. They're just not using the science, are they?
Wait, no, not at all. And the other thing that you haven't seen that just came out maybe an hour ago from the county executive was a letter, an email to all county employees. And basically what it said is you need to treat the public with respect and all these different things. Now, why would he send that to 4,500 county employees when it was one person, his public health director, acting director, that sent out that nastiness on Thanksgiving about irrelevant fools and lunatic fringe? Instead, addressing that with just Faisal Khan, you're going to send this to all county employees? I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Sam's smoking here lately.
So I'm desensitized to it. I'm so used to it because he's going to do what he wants to do. I guess he feels like people are on his side, the majority of people in the county. He's going to find out maybe differently next year. But this is a pattern of behavior that's not really unusual. It's pretty consistent, isn't it?
Absolutely. And can you imagine, you know, when I was a department head for more than 5 years at the county police, if one of my officers had called a citizen a lunatic or called them an irrelevant fool, they'd been disciplined for that.
Right.
Seriously disciplined for that. And all Sam Page has done is send out an email to everybody, like everybody was guilty of this. So we're going to bring that up tonight. It's going to be a very interesting meeting tonight.
I'm guessing some of the lunatic fringe will be there in attendance, won't they?
Me included. Except I'm in Boston, so I'm going to be participating remotely.
Oh, are you really? You're in Boston?
I am.
Nice.
Yep, I am. I'm here all week.
Long time. It's been more than 20 years, and I love that city, but it's been a long time since I've been back. So let's talk about the Rams settlement. We talked about it last week, and one of the things, obviously, is the money. Where's it going to go? The lawyers are going to get about $300 million, but you got $500 million that go between St. Louis, St. Louis County, and the Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority. How does that get decided, Chief? How do we decide where all this money's going? What's your impression of the
That's a great question. Rita Days asked that question of the county executive some time ago. What's going on? We need to be briefed on this lawsuit and what's going to happen if there's a settlement. You know what he said? Sorry, can't talk to you about it. It's confidential. Now, here's what I will tell you. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. Here's what I will tell you is that the county, by the way, had no involvement in that lawsuit other than we agreed, along with the city of St. Louis, we had no money in that whole issue, you know, with the fake stadium and how much we spent to get this fake stadium up and running. And
yeah, the $19 million and all that, right.
Steve Sanger was the county executive then. He said, we are not participating in that project, period. So I'm not so sure the county of St. Louis is going to end up with any of that money because we didn't have a dog in the fight. It wasn't even our attorneys. Remember, they were all outside attorneys.
Right, that's fine.
We were just used as a plaintiff.
All right, well, that doesn't make any sense because everything that has been said so far is that money's going to be divvied up and the county's going to get some of it too because of their involvement with the Dome and with the convention center. So how is that? Are you suggesting that someone's going to try to nudge the county out of that money?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
And Sam Page specifically hasn't been talking about the settlement since it happened. I think he's afraid to say, oh, guess what? We may not get any of this.
So that would involve more legal action, though, wouldn't it?
Well, it depends. You know, he also said we're good friends with the other two plaintiffs, you know, the city of St. Louis and the Dome Authority. So we'll work this all out. But there's nothing in writing that said, hey, if there's ever a settlement, it's going to get divvied up three ways. There was never anything in writing. That was a gentleman's handshake. And we know what kind of gentleman Sam Page is. So I think at the end of the day, we may be surprised that if we get anything. If anything, it may be very little.
Okay, well, let's operate just for a moment here. In fantasy line, let's operate under the assumption that we're going to get the money. And the county is going to have some of it, and the city is going to have some, and the regional sports authority is going to have some. So how should that money be spent? I mean, you might think that's sort of a moot point. I don't know. But do you have thoughts on that? Do you think maybe some of those answers will come tonight as far as whether or not any money will go to the county?
No, I don't think we'll hear anything like that tonight. And what I think the county should try to do with that money is we've been promised by the convention center folks to have a North County recreational complex. And now they're saying because of the pandemic, they don't have the money to do it. It's one of the things they're saying, don't have that money. Do we take part of this, whatever our settlement is, and spend it on this North County recreational and kind of keep the sports theme? because that's what this was about. We're not going to get a football team again. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't we continue to or just take this money and spend it on something like youth sports?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the math on this is interesting because the county still has to contribute every year for the upkeep of that dome, doesn't it?
Yeah, for four more years.
Right. So what is it, about $1 million a year?
I don't remember the exact amount, but that sounds about right.
Well, what do you think should happen to the dome and to the convention center? I mean, there's all, when I was talking to Jeff Rainford about this last week, he covered even ideas like maybe you tear the dome down, you build something else there. But the convention center has to be renovated to a certain extent to keep up with demands to make sure that we have continuing business here in St. Louis with events. You agree or disagree with that?
Well, it really just depends. The dome is old. I mean, I don't know that you could put too many more Band-Aids on that thing.
No, I agree. I don't think you can.
So do we then build a new, I'll call it a arena to host, musical concerts, that type of thing. Then you're competing against the Chaffetz and the Family Arena and all these other things. So I really don't have a solid answer on that yet. Let's first of all see if we're going to get any money before we spend too much time on that thought. And do we want to spend it all in St. Louis City? Or do we want to make sure a big part of that money ends up in St. Louis County, for example, North County, for the recreational complex for kids?
I would think the answer to that would be yes, but it doesn't sound, just even this conversation sounds like this whole thing is going to be messy trying to figure this out.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
right. I think it will be.
So at the meeting tonight, let's talk a little bit about COVID and where we are right now, because obviously you have this variant that the media is scaring the hell out of people over. Sam Page, Elisa Clancy, they got to love this right now, right, Chief?
Oh, absolutely. They're gonna run this one out as far as they can. And, the county executive is saying the mask mandate that he put in place is still in effect. Well,
I know.
They also sent us a letter tonight from Faisal Khan saying he wants us to vote on a new mask mandate tonight. Well, if it's still in effect, why do you need us to vote on a new mask mandate tonight? Can somebody help me with that?
Yeah,
one?
I'd like to know the answer to that. You don't have the answer yet, right?
No, absolutely not. So they want to do it in one meeting. Well, you know what? We don't pass any kind of laws in one meeting. It just doesn't happen that way. So, I can't trust anything that comes from Faisal Khan. I'm done with him. I will not entertain anything that he has to say. And I have a feeling there's many more on the council that feel the same way.
Are there many more outside of you and Ernie Trakas and Mark Carter? Are some of the Democrats going to take a stand on this as well?
I think you'll see that tonight. We'll let them cast their votes tonight and listen to their comments. But I think it's going to be a very interesting meeting.
That's a good tease there, Chief, for the meeting tonight. All right, get the popcorn ready. Keep us posted. Enjoy your time in Beantown.
Will do.
Say hi to Ben Franklin if you run into him, okay?
I sure will.
Take care. Have you ever been to Boston, Sue?
I have. I love it.
What do they call that thing? Faneuil Hall? Is it Faneuil Hall or something like that? Then Ben Franklin, they're all walking around there. You can have conversations.
Cool.
It is a fun city. Very fun. Haven't been back. My wife's never been out there to Boston.
She needs
we talk
to
about
go.
Like a fall trip is pretty nice. Or even, I don't know how long it's been since we played the Red Sox out there, but a baseball
how
trip
fun
would kind
to
of
go.
Be cool.
Oh, that's what you should do. And there's a great restaurant they're everywhere, but for a lobster roll, I'll think about it.
A lobster roll recommendation here
so good.
This afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. All right, there's a couple things that I wanted to toss in here before we get to Kevin Wheeler because this was interesting. Let me pull a couple of pieces of audio in. This was a guy named Douglas Murray, who's written a book called The Madness of Crowds, and I was watching Fox here this afternoon. We're going to try to get him on because it caught my attention that he said this.
I happened to be driving the other day between St. Louis and Ferguson, Missouri, and went down a stretch of road called the David Dawn Highway.
Now, first of all, and that's a very serious topic, were you a little confused when I hit the bite? You thought it was Dave Klein?
A little bit.
Doing the accent?
I was thrown by that
as well. Yeah, right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
In memory of that extraordinarily brave retired police officer who went out one night during the riots to try to protect businesses in the area and was killed by the mob. These things are things we should not forget. We shouldn't forget people like David Dawn. And, the problem is that the media that tries to cover over for this sort of thing, and the political activists who cover it over, the media who say that it's mainly peaceful burnings and mainly peaceful lootings. The thing is, and you can see this yourself in a place like Ferguson, these places don't move on. You still see the places where they burnt the buildings in 2014 after one lie. They're still there burnt. They're still burnt down. The lots are still empty. They're like missing teeth.
Wow.
This is the problem in this country. Political activists and portions of the media lie, and then they move on. But the places that are riddled by the lies that they have perpetrated do not move on. They don't get to move on. It's the lying parts of the media and the activists that do. And we should hold them responsible. They cannot just keep trying to wipe out our collective memories of things we've seen with our own eyes.
He raises a good point. I'm going to try to get him on. I wasn't really familiar with him, but I heard that. Again, Douglas Murray was his name. Now, on that topic, you know, we have the Jussie Smollett trial that's going on right now. And again, I mentioned this earlier. This is stunning to me. That one of the things that came out in opening statements is this guy actually did a trial run a week before, and they have it. The prosecutors have this on video. They have video of him driving his car and pointing out to the Alessandro brothers where he wants the attack to take place. So it's stunning that that is even something that's going to trial. But there was a great piece today of all the people that chimed in on that. So, like, I got to let this load a little bit because there's a lot of tweets. You might remember the vice president said, Jussie Smollett is one of the kindest, most gentle people I know. I'm praying for a quick recovery. This was an attempted modern-day lynching. Remember that, right?
Yep.
Here's Billy Eichner, who's an actor. Time will tell if Jussie's attackers shouted MAGA or not, but there is no part of me that doubts that Trump and MAGA culture have encouraged and emboldened these types of attacks, and that is truly effing unforgivable. Of course... When you think about the facts of this, all you got to do is think about the facts, right? Here's Bernie Sanders. The racist and homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is a horrific instance of the surging hostility toward minorities around the country. We must come together to eradicate forms of bigotry and violence. Yeah, we got to keep two big brothers who were paid by a spoiled Hollywood actor who no one knew of. No one, unless you were watching Empire, knew who this guy was. And he decided, let me vault myself into national prominence
and you
by
know what?
Claiming that I was attempted to be hung by MAGA-wearing, you know, rednecks, even though they were two big black dudes
and let's
from
go
Nigeria.
Ahead and do a run-through first to make sure we get it right and have
right.
that recorded.
Here's Eric Swalwell. What happened to Jussie Smollett is vile and tragic. Thankfully, he will recover. But hate crimes like this are happening more frequently, egged on by careless hate-filled rhetoric. You know, the bottom line, the truth is, and this is what's come out ever since Jussie Smollett, the hate crime deal, we're not happening more often because they've all been exposed as lies. All of them. Bubba Wallace, that was not a noose. Parkway Central and Parkway North, that was a black person who wrote the racist graffiti. Now, look, people will say, Mark, you don't think there's racism in this guy? Of course there's racism. There are horrible instances of racism. These are not among them, though. What happened to Jussie Smollett? Not among them. What happened to Bubba Wallace? Not among them. What happened in most of these instances that make it to the news? Not an example of racism.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Some breaking news here about our buddy Chris Cuomo, because finally, and I was a little surprised, the New York Times was the outlet that did this story that came out with some of these details about the communication. Well, that happened yesterday, so we had all this information about the communication, and we all knew it was taking place between Chris and the former governor, but here is the story from I don't know who. This is Dylan Byers, who is reporting this. The New York Attorney General's office released transcripts and exhibits Monday that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense. The documents, which were not privy before their public release, raised serious questions. This is from CNN. This is their statement. When Chris admitted to us that he had offered advice to his brother's staff, he broke our rules, and we acknowledged that publicly. But we also appreciated the unique position he was in and understood his need to put family first and job second. However, these documents point to a greater level of involvement in his brother's efforts than we previously knew. As a result, we have suspended Chris indefinitely pending further investigation. Isn't Brian Williams' slot on MSNBC available?
Oh, boy.
isn't that where they put washed-up anchors who get into trouble? Anyway, we'll keep you posted on that. Let's talk baseball. Kevin Wheeler has swung in from down the hall at KMOX. The first time he's in the room as a 50-year-old. Should mention that.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Feels the same as 35, though, so that's cool.
Well, you look so young, too. You're very lucky.
Isn't it crazy?
You don't feel 50, right?
No, but
I can't believe, I'm on the cusp of 60, and I feel like I'm 30 just because I behave that way. It's really a maturity level.
I mean, you look 60, but you know, I'm not.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kidding.
This is going to be a lockout, right? Let's just call it the way we see it. We're getting locked out when? At midnight tomorrow?
Yeah. So midnight moving from December 1st to December 2nd. It's going to happen. There's no way they're going to finish up an agreement. I mean, there might be, if you wanted to hold out hope that, the dumb and dumber, so you're saying there's a chance. If you want to hold out that, maybe they kind of basically agree on the big picture on money, and they say, we don't have the details, but we're not going to lock out because we're close. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Nobody thinks that's happening.
In a nutshell form, before we get to some specifics, this has been obviously telegraphed. There's a new collective bargaining agreement that needs to be reached with Major League Baseball and the union, but there are disputes over things like the DH, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those things, like the stuff that's on the field, there's not a lot of dispute about. I mean, you know, what they are is they're poker chips, right? These two sides are playing poker against each other. And sometimes they're serious and sometimes they're bluffing. And they're gonna look at each issue is basically how much does this mean to us? So the DH is basically something that the owners view as a giveaway to the union to get something else that they want. Because what that does is creates, another 15 everyday jobs, right? And everyday jobs, starting jobs pay more than bench jobs. So essentially that is at least allowing for the possibility that more money will be flowing towards the Players Association. Things like that. That's kind of how that's viewed. The expanded playoffs. The players probably are okay with it, maybe don't really care, but the expanded playoffs is a big give back to the owners. So the players are going to use that to get whatever concessions they want. So it's essentially, they're just going to be shuffling pieces around eventually. And, based on the way that revenues are growing and based on the fact that Major League Baseball has revenues that don't even count towards these collective bargaining talks, I don't think this is going to last past the off season. They'll be in spring training, if not right away at the beginning, pretty close to it, and they'll open the season regularly. But we're going to have a couple of months of the two sides, bickering.
But the owners really don't have to impose a lockout, right? That's not a requirement, but when the CBA runs out. But they think it's the best way to get an agreement by that timetable.
It's a way of creating urgency. Basically holding it over players' heads, and not everybody, because look, a lot of the action we've seen here in the last week with players signing contracts in free agency, they don't want to deal with all the nonsense. They don't want to deal with the uncertainty. The players that aren't signed by midnight tomorrow night can't sign until the lockout's over. That could happen, Mark, 3 days before spring training starts.
That's why we've had this flurry of activity.
Oh, yeah. Right. All of these guys, I mean, none of these players want to wait until 3 days before they have to report to spring training to figure out where they're having spring training. I mean, they don't want to find out where they have to move their families, if they're going to move their families, or where they're going to be living for 7-8 months, 3 days before spring training starts. So all of these guys want to get this stuff done now, but they won't all be able to. Some of this is going to have to last after the lockout.
All right, so explain what are the issues for the players in particular? One of the big cornerstones here is just divvying up pieces of the pie. So one thing that we've known, and this is just the way that it is, but the younger players, sometimes who really make a mark on a team, they're the cheaper players, right?
Yeah.
They're the ones
aren't
being compensated. Yeah. So what are they trying to attain here in this CBA when it comes to the pie that's being divvied up?
So the two things that the players are trying to get changed. One is how young players are manipulated, right? I mean, we saw this. One of the famous examples was Chris Bryant with the Cubs. He was clearly ready. He had amazing spring training, And in most settings, you'd be like, okay, he's a major league player. But they send him down to AAA for another 3 weeks because then that puts him 1 year further removed from free agency. By holding him back intentionally for 3 weeks, he can't get to free agency for another year, which is, again, manipulating his ability to earn money. Because what people have to pay attention to here is, in baseball, you never get to choose who you play for until you've reached free agency. And for a lot of guys, that doesn't happen until you're almost 30. I mean, think about that. You go from the time you're drafted, and you have 6 years once you've made it to the major leagues before you can get to free agency. If it takes you 3 or 4 years to get there, they control you for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and you don't have any say.
And the allegation is that we've seen this even in the system with the Cardinals, that the longer you hold them there, then that delays free agency.
Right. So they would like to see that change, because that service time manipulation is holding back salaries. I mean, there's a reason teams do it, right? There's a reason teams are going to look at a great player and say, yeah, he's great, but he's not going to come up until April 20th or May 1st or whatever, because it's that. The other thing that they're really concerned about is competitiveness of teams in markets in markets in general. They don't like how many teams tank. They don't like how many teams don't try. And what the players...
Which is a majority of the teams.
Well, I mean, it's at least... Put it this way.
At least half.
It's at least 25% of the teams every year that are just not trying. In fact, a lot of them are actively trying to be bad, because by cutting the payroll to a point, like, say, where the Pirates have been for the last, 30 years, you make money anyway. There is no downside to being horrible, and that's something that the Players Association wants to address.
So,
for example, Pittsburgh can have a payroll at $40 million.
Scherzer's making 43 next year.
Yes, yes, and a whole team could have that, and they're terrible, but they still make money.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how many tickets they sell. They are insulated from financial loss because the TV deals are so big and because of revenue sharing. So a team like the Pirates, teams like the Marlins, these teams that have been bad for a long time that never spent anything, they can just keep doing that and be profitable. They can pocket money and never even try to compete. And that's what Major League Baseball wants to try to find a way to solve, is that you've got to find a way to incentivize teams to not just intentionally suck for 5 or 10 years. Because that's costing the union money, too, because the teams aren't even trying.
So I hear you saying you don't think this is going to be resolved. It may take a little while. You think spring training, the last time we had a lockout, was 1990, I think, and spring training was delayed. You think that that's possible?
Spring training could be delayed and could be shortened. It wouldn't shock me. I don't think they're going to miss a single day of the regular season. They've all lost too much money from COVID. I mean, now, absent the COVID years, you know, like 2020 being essentially completely wiped out from a financial standpoint, because you didn't have anybody in ballparks and you only played a third of a season as it was. So you lost out on 2/3 of the TV money. You lost out on basically 95% of attendance money. So revenue was crushed. And you still had some of the carryover into 2021, where teams were still not making what they used to. If not for that, we might actually see a work stoppage that goes into the regular season. But, you know, the owners lost billions. The players missed out on billions of dollars in salary when you combine them all. None of them want to lose more. They're not going to let that happen. I mean, what do wealthy people like more than anything? They like making more money. They're going to let it all go away.
In the 24-hour span through Monday afternoon, the Texas Rangers committed $561 million to four players. More than half of that, of course, was to Corey Seager.
Right.
So, you know, the money, there's a lot of money out there, and they're tossing it back and forth. We assume that the one thing that will definitely come out of this, you don't think there's a chance this gets delayed any further with the DH, right?
No, the DH will be in there. Nobody wants it anymore. The teams don't want it. They don't like that pitchers get hurt running the bases or, you know, fouling a ball off their foot or whatever. But they also don't like the fact that no pitchers can hit. And the reason they can't hit is because the teams never allow them to do it. I mean, like Jack Flaherty, I think, had something like 18 at-bats in the minor leagues his entire minor league career before So here's basically what you're telling Jack Flaherty as an example. Like, hey, kid, you're going to go basically 3.5, 4 years without swinging a bat in a game for real.
It's ridiculous.
Here's
Jacob
DeGrom. Yeah. Go hit against him. He's throwing 100. How you like that?
Look, I like to say, we all say we're purists. I'm not crazy about it, but it is what it is at this point.
Joke.
You have to kind of accept, right, because that's nonsense too.
I mean, there are guys that legitimately didn't take an at bat since high school, and they get to the big leagues and they have to swing against guys throwing 100 miles
an hour. It'd be different if everyone out there was like Waino, who can make contact every once in a while and he can get a hit.
Yeah. I mean, and again, he's good for a pitcher, But as a hitter standard, you'd be released if you hit like
that. Right. Of course you would.
I mean, it gets nothing against Waino because he never trained for it. I mean, like, they don't let you do it. They don't even use they don't even let pitchers hit in most minor league games. You occasionally will see it if two National League teams are playing each other, but the DH is all across the minor leagues.
Who is the most likely DH candidate? I know that Schwarber's name is being mentioned out there. What do you think?
I wouldn't think it's going to be someone like Schwarber. I think Schwarber is going to get a relatively good-sized multi-year deal from someone, and I'm not sure that appeals to the Cardinals because they have a lineup that they're happy with. They've got a couple of really good, talented young hitters that are close, right? I mean, everybody knows Nolan Gorman. He's one of their top prospects. He's a top 50 prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And he's now a second baseman. He's been converted from third to second. But he's a 30-35 homer guy in the not-too-distant future. The question will be, how much is his all-around game, right? What does he hit for average? Does he strike out too much? But his power is legit. And they have another guy named Juan Yepes who just hit 27 home runs at AAA this year. And then went to the Arizona Fall League and was the second best hitter in the entire league with all of the best prospects in baseballs there. So, you know, they have a couple of guys that are close. I wouldn't think that they want a big multi-year contract for that. I mean, you know, Mo mentioned yesterday doing the Steven Matz press conference that, you know, that they might look for a different type of hitter if they can finally get it locked in that there's going to be a DH. I would expect if they sign a DH type, it would be at the end of the lockout when things open up. And it'll be like a frenzy, right? It'll be like a feeding frenzy.
Everybody
that's a free agent is going to want a job real fast, and maybe you get somebody on a one-year deal that can make your lineup better.
Quickly, on the Matz deal, seems like a good choice here. Things are always a bit of a roll in the dice. We've come on the sore end of the deal on some of these possible pitching, you know, gems. Is he a bit of a bargain?
At $11 million a year, it's not exactly a huge risk in the major leagues, right?
I mean, because we were paying like Andrew Miller, we were wasting what, 16 a year on?
I think it was an 8 or 9 couple. But
thinking about someone else, maybe.
But this is fourth starter money, and he's a good player. I mean, like Steven Matz is a pretty solid pitcher. He's not an ace. He's not going to go win a Cy Young Award or anything like that. But he's predictable, and he fits them because he throws strikes. And he gets ground balls. And when you have a great defense behind you, you can maximize that kind of guy. So if you're looking for a Cy Young, that's going to have to come from Jack Flaherty or maybe Adam Wainwright or somebody like that. But Matz is a really solid signing. And I think what most people would say is good bang for the buck there at $11 million. That's a quality guy.
So we got a shopping spree yesterday, a lockout by midnight tomorrow. And then we hang on through the winter and we'll see what happens. Kevin Wheeler, great to have you in. I appreciate it.
See you later.
5:44, audio cut of the day coming up next, 97.1 FM Talk. Oh, I do have kind of a fun story, sports related, about how I think it was a high school ended up on a FaceTime call with Gronk and Tom Brady and the Tampa. It's a weird story coming up. Aha, that's what you have right now. On a squeeze, audio cut of the day is sponsored by the Sound Room, but Dave shared this story with me, and it's quite entertaining. This is from, I think the Today Show reported on this. It's on their website right now. Notre Dame preparatory freshman boys basketball team. They're in Pontiac, Michigan. They started a group text. Weren't we talking about group texts earlier this afternoon?
Yes,
there's a
news.
Group text, but one of the players typed in a wrong digit for one of his teammates.
Oh.
That person wrote back, and that person happened to be a cornerback for the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Sean Murphy Bunting, who is
a relatively well-known.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a well-known NFL player. He's not just a no-name. So Jason Whalen is a counselor at the school, and he starts tweeting things out about what happened here. He goes, "A wild thing happened this AM that I had to share. My son's basketball team starts up a group chat. When entering phone numbers, they screw up one digit for one of their teammates. This random guy replies to the group, 'Did you mean to add me to this group?' The boys are like, 'Yes, if this is blah,' you know, they didn't mention the kid's name. The guy replies, 'No, this is Sean. Do you know who I am?' Of course, they think it's their teammate messing with them. There's some back and forth, and then Sean Bunting sends a selfie. He's in the Bucks locker room, and he says, 'I'm, you know, Sean Bunting.' So then Whalen says some of the boys still think it's their buddy joking around. They don't know what's going on. He's like, 'Okay, sure, it's Sean Bunting, right?' So then he starts shooting pictures of Gronk, Richard Sherman, Mike Evans,
Leonard Fournette.
Look at the Gronk picture. It's hilarious. There's Gronk just being
Gronky,
right? He's being Gronk. I mean, is that story?
That's adorable.
I love it. So there, we need more stories like that. But right now we got this.
Stand by. Playback. already.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Yeah, sponsored by the Sound Room this afternoon, you can see the triple-digit Sony 100-inch TV. We played this to start the show, but, you know, when I go through the accounting of possibles for audio cut of the day, and Dave and I run these down, this has to be still the highlight today. This is a crazy story. Speaking of crazy stories, Bradley Cooper being attacked by someone with a knife.
I used to walk around New York City all the time with these on. Uh-huh. And this is pre-pandemic, and I was on the subway 11:45 to pick Leah up downtown at Russian school, and I got held up at knife point. My guard was down.
Because of the headphones.
So I'm like that, and I'm all the way at the end of the subway, which I would just innately just go all the way down to the end. And I felt somebody coming up, and I thought, oh, they want to take a photo or something. And then as I turn, I'm literally like this. I'm like, I'm up against the post, like it's the French Connection or something. And then I like turn, and I look down, and I see a knife, like a knife probably that big a knife.
Like a pocket knife.
Yes, with a wooden handle. I remember thinking, it's a nice knife.
Yeah, like this is, it's got some history.
This is on Dax Shepard's podcast. By the way, did he say he was taking his daughter to Russian school? Because that's weird. I take my daughter there all the time.
So I look up, I see the person's eyes, and I'm like taken by how young they are. And then, I'm sure you were taught this, you don't ever run from knife, that you just try to kind of like stay there. And I go like that, knocked
lifted
his
your elbow
up, and just start booking. You just started running, jumped over the turnstile, hit around the white tiled foyer entrance to the subway, took my phone out. He jumped over running away, and I took a photo of him. And then I chased him up the stairs. He started running up 7th Avenue. I took two more photographs of him. I ran down two police officers in an SUV, showed them the photograph, and I'm like talking to them. And the guy kept saying it was so interesting. He's like, are you stabbed? And I was like, no. Oh. He goes, no, check to see if you're stabbed. Because realizing like what happens if people get stabbed and they're in shock.
Oh, my God.
And I looked to see if he was right. It was crazy, bro. And then I got back on the subway and picked up my daughter. Like, it was crazy.
So I can understand how he would have thought, or they said to him, you know, make sure, because you got the adrenaline and shock and you might not know you're bleeding out. That was a crazy, crazy story from Bradley Cooper on that podcast with Dax Shepard. We have wrapped up a Tuesday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. We're back tomorrow. We got Kilmeade, Senator Blunt, and a whole lot more, plus another audio cut of the day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.